Chapter 3. What a pretty little flower. What a pretty poppy. Pick it and watch it bleed. Not so pretty any longer. I came to, gulping in a deep breath of air that smelled of damp soil and old decay. The horrible rhyme echoed in my aching head as I opened my eyes and gasped, choking on a scream. Dark, empty eye sockets stared back at me from a dusty, dirty skull. Heart slamming against my ribs, I shot upright and scuttled back. I made it about a foot when something tightened painfully, sharply jerking my arms and legs. I ground my teeth, stifling a whimper as the skin of my wrists and below my knees burned. Someone had removed my sweater and left me in only the too thin slip I'd worn under the top. Any concern I might have felt over where my sweater and pants had gone, or how the cinched bodice of the slip did very little to hide anything, fell away as I stared at my hands. Bones, polished ivory bones, were twisted around my wrists. Bones and vines. And some part of them dug into my skin. I carefully drew up one leg, chest rising and falling rapidly as I saw the same just below my knees. Upon closer inspection, I saw that they weren't vines. They appeared to be some kind of root. Dried blood streaked my calves as I reached for the manacle. Fiery pain branded my wrists, stopping me. Gods! I hissed through my teeth as I carefully leaned back against something hard, damp, and cold. A wall? Throat dry, my gaze followed the twist of bone and roots to where it connected with the wall. My breath came out in short, uneven pants as I glanced back at the thing beside me. Patches of thin, stringy blonde hair hung in clumps from the skull. Only pieces of tattered clothing remained, darkened by age and dirt. I had no idea if it had been male or female, but it had clearly been here for decades, maybe even centuries. Some kind of spear rested against the corpse's chest, the blade a chalky black. Ice drenched my entire being as I saw the same knotted bones and roots encircling its wrists and ankles. Air lodged in my throat as my gaze lifted to what sat on the other side of the body. More remains bound in the same manner, and there was another and another propped against the entire length of the wall. Dozens of them. Oh, gods! My wide gaze darted wildly around. Torches jutted out from gray-black columns in the center of the space and farther back, casting an orange glow across. Horror filled me as I saw several raised stone slabs, long and square boxes situated between two rows of pillars. Oh gods, I knew what they were. Sarcophagi. Sarcophagi smothered by coiled bone and root chain, the bindings draped over each one. I was in a crypt. And it was clear that I wasn't the first to be held here. Panic crept up my throat, making it even harder to breathe in the cold, dank air. My pulse pounded sickeningly fast. Nausea rose, cramping my stomach as I searched the shadows beyond the sarcophagi and pillars. I had no recollection of how I'd arrived here or how long I'd... Castile. An image of him formed in my mind, reaching for me as his skin turned gray and hardened. Pressure clamped down on my chest, grinding my heart. I squeezed my eyes shut against the rush of dampness rising, but it was no use. I still saw him, his back arched and body contorted, his eyes dulling, his gaze fixing. He couldn't be gone. Neither could Kieran or Jasper. They had to be fine. I just needed to get out of here and find them. I moved to stand. The bindings snapped against my skin, digging in deeper. A hoarse cry parted my dry lips as I fell back against the wall. Inhaling deeply, I lifted my arm to get a better look at the chain. Spurs. The bones had sharpened spurs on them. Shit, I whispered, wincing at the sound of my voice. I needed to calm. I couldn't panic. The Wolven. They would hear me, right? That's what it sounded like Castile and the others were saying, that they'd heard or felt my distress before and had answered. I was definitely distressed now, but I'd heard them yelping in pain after Jasper and Kieran were shot. None of them had reached the top of the temple after that. What if they too were... I lifted my hands to my face. The chain had enough give to do so without pain. Stop, I told myself. They couldn't have killed all the Wolven. They, namely, Alastair. Anger and disbelief warred inside me as I focused on steadying my breathing. I would get out of here. I would find Castile and Kieran and the others. All of them had to be okay. Then I would kill Alastair, slowly and painfully. Holding that promise close to my heart, I forced out a slow, even breath and lowered my hands. I'd been chained before. That time in New Haven had not been as bad as this, but I'd been in bad situations before with Duke Tierman and Lord Mazeen. Like in the carriage with Lord Chaney, who had been bordering on bloodlust, I had to stay calm. I couldn't cave to panic. If I did, I would lose myself. Like I'd lost myself at the chambers of Nyctos. No, I hadn't lost myself when I'd killed those people. I'd still been there. I hadn't cared to hold back, to curtail whatever power had come alive inside me. I didn't even feel guilt now. I didn't think I'd feel remorse later either. My legs and back stung from the wounds those blades had left behind as I looked at where my bonds connected to the wall. No ring held the chain in place. It wasn't just fused to the wall. It was part of it. A growth. What in the hell kind of crypt was this? I couldn't break stone, but bone and roots were fragile in comparison. Carefully, I twisted my wrist to create tension that didn't press against my skin. I gripped the other length of bone and root with my other hand. I wouldn't do that. My head snapped in the direction of the male voice. It came from the shadows beyond the lit pillars. Those aren't normal bones you're handling, the male voice continued. They're the bones of the ancients. My lip curled as I immediately loosened my grip. A deep chuckle rose from the shadows, and I stilled once more. That laugh, it sounded a little familiar. So did the voice. And because they're bones of the deities, they carry primal magic, the ether within them, he added. Do you know what that means, Penelope? Those bones are unbreakable, imbued by another who carries the blood of the gods within them. The voice grew closer, and I tensed. It was a rather archaic technique crafted by the gods themselves, designed to immobilize those who had become too dangerous, too much of a threat. They say it was Nyctos himself who bestowed the power on the bones of the dead. An act he carried out when he ruled over the dead in the Shadowlands, when he was the Asher, the one who is blessed, the bringer of death, and the guardian of souls, the primal god of common men and endings. The Shadowlands? Ruled over the dead? Nyctos was the god of life, king of all the gods. Rain was the god of common men and endings. I had never heard of the Shadowlands before, but with that name alone, it sounded like a place I didn't want to learn more about. But I digress, he said. and I saw the hazy dark outline of a man in the gloom. I squinted, focusing on him, but I sensed nothing from him.
You pull on those bindings, they will simply tighten. You keep doing it, they will cut through your flesh and into your bone. Eventually, they will sever your limbs. Don't believe me? Take a closer look at the one beside you. I didn't want to look, to take my eyes off the shadowy form, but I couldn't help myself. I glanced at the body beside me and looked down at its side. The skeletal remains of a hand lay beside it. Oh, gods. Lucky for you, you only carry the blood of the gods in you. You're not a deity like them. You would bleed out and die rather quickly. The deities like the one beside you, the man said, and my attention shot back to him. The shadowy mass was closer now, having stopped at the edges of the fiery glow. He grew weaker and hungrier until his body started to cannibalize itself. That process alone most likely took centuries.
Centuries? I shuddered.
You must be asking yourself what he could have done to warrant such a horrid punishment. What did he and the others lining the walls and in their coffins do?
He asked. And yeah, a part of me wondered just that.
They became too dangerous, too powerful, too unpredictable.
He paused, and I swallowed hard. It took no leap of logic to assume that those against the wall and before me were deities.
Too much of a threat. Just like you.
I'm not a threat, I snarled.
You're not? You killed many.
My fingers curled inward.
They attacked me for no reason. They hurt.
My voice cracked. They hurt the wolven. Their prince.
Your heartmate, he suggested. A union of not only the hearts, but also of the soul. Rare and more powerful than any bloodline. Many would consider such a thing a miracle. Tell me, do you think it's a miracle now?
Yes, I growled without hesitation. He laughed, and yet again something tugged at the recesses of my memories.
You will then be relieved to know that they are all safe. The king and queen, those two wolven, even the prince, he said.
And I might have stopped breathing.
If you don't believe that, you can trust the marriage imprint.
My heart stuttered. I hadn't even thought of that. Castile had told me that the imprint faded upon the death of one of the partners. That was how some had learned of their heartmate's demise. Part of me didn't want to look, but I had to. A hollowness filled my stomach as my gaze shifted to my left hand. It trembled as I turned it over. The golden swirl across my palm glimmered faintly. Relief cut so swiftly through me that I had to clamp my mouth shut to stop the cry from rising up from the very depths of my being. The imprint was still there. Castile was alive. I shuddered again, tears scorching my throat. He was alive.
Sweet, he whispered. So very sweet.
An uneasy sensation crept over my skin, stealing bits and pieces of the relief.
But he would have been greatly injured if you hadn't been stopped, he said. You would have brought the whole temple down. He would have fallen with it. Maybe you would have even killed him. It's possible for you to do that, you know. You have the power within you.
My heart skipped a beat in my chest. I would never hurt him.
Maybe not intentionally, but from what I've gathered, you seem to have very little control over yourself. How do you know what you would have done?
I started to deny what he'd said, but I tipped my head back against the wall, unsettled. I wasn't sure what I had become in that temple, but I had been in control. I had also been full of vengeance,
just like the strange flash of the woman I'd seen in my mind. I had been prepared to kill those who ran from me. I'd been prepared to tear apart the entire kingdom.
Would I have done that?
Science Cove was full of innocent people. Surely I would have stopped before it got to that point. I was lying to myself. I'd believed that Castile had been gravely injured, if not killed. I wouldn't have stopped, not until I'd sated that need for vengeance, and I had no idea what it would have taken for that to happen. The air I breathed turned sour, and it was an effort to file that realization away, to stress over later. What did you do to him, to the others?
I did nothing.
Bullshit, I snapped. I fired no arrows. I wasn't even there, he replied. What they did was use a toxin derived from the Shadow Shade, a flower that grows in the most eastern regions of the mountains of Nyctos. It causes convulsions and paralysis before hardening the skin. Quite painful before they enter into the deep sleep. The prince will take a bit longer than normal to awaken, from what I hear. A few days. So, I imagine tomorrow, perhaps.
A few days tomorrow.
How long have I been out?
2 days, maybe three.
Good gods. I didn't even want to think about the damage done to my head that would have knocked me out for that long. But the others hadn't been struck as many times as Castile. Kieran would likely be awake now. So would Jasper, and maybe the other...
I know what you're thinking,
the male cut into my thoughts. That the Wolven will feel your call. That they will come for you.
No, they won't.
The bones nullify the primal notum. They also negate any and all abilities, reducing you to what you are at your very core. Mortal.
Was that why I felt nothing from this man? That wasn't exactly what I'd wanted to hear.
Panic threatened to dig its claws into me once more, but the shadowy form moved closer, stepping into the glow of the torch. My entire body went rigid at the sight of the man dressed in all black. Every part of me rebelled at what I saw. It didn't make sense. It was impossible. But I recognized the dark, buzzed hair, the hard-set jaw, and thin lips. Now I knew why his laugh sounded so familiar. It was the commander of the Royal Guard, Commander Jansen.
You're dead, I breathed, staring up at him as he drifted between the pillars. A dark eyebrow rose.
Whatever gave you that impression, Penelope?
The Ascended discovered that Hawk wasn't who he said he was shortly after we left. What Lord Chaney had told me in that carriage resurfaced. They said the dissenters infiltrated the highest ranks of the Royal Guard.
They did, but they didn't catch me.
One side of Jansen's lips curved up as he strolled forward, his fingers skating over the side of a coffin. Confusion swirled through me as I stared up at him.
I don't understand. You're a dissenter? You support the prince?
I support Atlantia.
He moved fast, crossing the distance in less time than it took a heart to beat. He knelt, so we were at eye level.
I am no dissenter.
Really?
His super speed sort of gave that away.
Then what are you? The tight-lipped smile grew. His features sharpened, narrowed. And then he changed, shrinking in height and width. The new body drowned in the clothing Jansen had been wearing. His skin became tanner and smoother. In an instant, his hair darkened to black and became longer, his eyes lightening and turning blue. Within seconds, Beckett knelt before me.